This is Doug Miller. Believe me, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So stick around and let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged and pleased to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Bible in hand, ready to look into this blessed Word. And we are delighted to welcome you. Bring your Bibles. Come along. We are in the 8th chapter of Job. So open up to chapter 8. We're at the very end, about verse 20. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the assistance and support of our listeners and interested parties. You've heard me say it many times. Please pray for Dialogue. Without the prayers of the saints, we can have no effect whatever. I make noise on here, and that's about all it will amount to. But with the prayers of the saints, and taking God at his word that his word will not return unto him void, then we, and I might add other ministries that are doing basically what we are doing, will have an amazing impact. We are living in difficult, dire, and dreadful times. We are living in times in which lies are told constantly and consistently, and people are being led astray. Believe me, we need to get out there with the truth. So you pray for Dialogue, please. And we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you at the end of the broadcast. You might say, well, why do you want us to write you? A lot of reasons. Let me know that you're out there. Let me answer any questions that you might have. Answer questions that I might have. Say hello. Say where you are. There are a lot of reasons, but we would be delighted to hear from you. Now, if you don't like to write with a pen and paper, and there are those who don't, we have an email address. It is dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. Okay, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. You can also, if you'd like, call me, and I'd be happy to talk to you. You'll just have to leave a message. And I'll get back with you. Our telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. Give me a call if you wish, and I'll call you back, and we will spend some time together. Also, we have a webpage, and on that webpage you can read about Dialogue and see pictures of me, or a picture of me, I guess it is. And you can pull down our broadcasts and listen to them. We're fairly current on those. Our webpage is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? DialogueMinistries.org. Now, we've got some announcements here to make before we get into the broadcast or the actual teaching. Mark your calendars. April 27, we will have our annual Dialogue Conference. We try to put one of those on once a year, and I will be there speaking. And if you wish to know what on, the answer is the seven churches of Revelation. And we would be happy to have you there. The conference will begin at 10 o'clock. It will be at Olivet Baptist Church, Northwest 10th and Klein in Oklahoma City. It will begin at 10 in the morning, and it will end at about 5 o'clock that afternoon. Now, we will have a noon meal there. All of this is absolutely free, but you need to RSVP so that our people who are fixing this meal will know about how many to fix this meal for. Okay? So you can RSVP by emailing dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net, or you can call the number I just gave you, 405-535-9089. Okay, that's April 27, 10 p.m. at Olivet Baptist Church. And we do appreciate the church down there having this, allowing us to use their facilities. It'll be in their auditorium. Now, a week after that, the very next Saturday, which will be on May the 4th, we are going to have another conference, and this one will be held in Guthrie. So if you're in the Guthrie area, we will be at the Guthrie Bible Chapel on Oklahoma Street. That's just west of the big Masonic Temple there. I don't think you can miss it. And I'll have more to say about this later on. But that's April 4th, and that will probably begin at about 10 in the morning. But this will have to be firmed up. But write those dates down. Always a joy and a delight to hold these conferences and get to meet people and see those who have been listening for years, and just in general to have a good time in the Word of God. Okay, so April 27 and May 4. Okay, all right. Now, all of that out of the way, let's get back into this and see what we can see in the Word of God. And we are in the 8th chapter of Job once again, and we'll no doubt get down into the 9th chapter a little before we're through today. I said at the first, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Let me tell you why I said that. I occasionally will listen to broadcasts of dialogue on the radio. I don't always, but sometimes I'll listen just to make sure that I am making a modicum of sense and that I am not just confusing issues or saying things that are absolutely false and wrong. I try to sort of keep corrected here. And last week I was listening to the broadcast, and it occurred to me, man, how depressing this all is. People out there, and they would like to be cheered up and encouraged and all of that, and all they're hearing out of Job is depression and misery and gloom and despair and agony on me and all of that. And I thought, wow, perhaps I'd better say something encouraging. Okay, let me say something encouraging. And let me do it by introducing you to reality. There is not a one of you out there who cannot understand this and agree with what I'm about to say. Being a Christian does not mean that suddenly you have no problems. Far from it. Being a Christian might mean that you have a lot of problems that you wouldn't have had if you had not become a Christian. Why is that? Well, let me tell you why. It's very simple, really. Those who are unsaved, they're in the world, they're part of the world, they're of the world, and the world is kind to them, and the world loves its own. But those of us who are saved, who have been born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are immediately set at counter purposes to the world and the whole world system. And there's the prince of the power of the air, whom the Lord Jesus called the prince of this world. And he has no part with me, said the Lord Jesus. And you were, before you were saved, on the prince of the power of the world side, and now you're over with the Lord Jesus, and it can get tough sometimes. Now, earlier you heard me read out of the book of Job, man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. Anyone who does not tell you this truth is not telling you the truth. Hardly a week goes by that someone doesn't call me or write to me, or meet me on the street and begin the conversation by saying something like this: please pray for me. I'm going through some deep waters right now, and what's happened is, and they will begin to tell me. Or I know right now about two or three different people who have been through major surgeries, and this is difficult. This is difficult. I can tell you right now, some of you know this and some of you don't, and I think I've said it on here before, but I lost my first wife to cancer. And I can remember living through that experience, and I want to tell you it was no fun. But I can remember my daughter coming to me at one point. This was after my wife had died. And my daughter coming to me very upset about her mother's death, as you can imagine. And she said to me, listen to this, this is interesting. She said, Dad, people keep telling me, just trust in the Lord, just trust in the Lord. They keep saying this, and let the Lord carry you. And she said, I'm not even sure what that means. I'm not even sure what that means. And I thought, well, you poor child, of course you're not. You've never had this experience before. And, you know, it never occurred to you that you would have to live through this, but you do have to live through it. You do have to live through it. And I have talked to so many people since then who have been through this, and, you know, I can look at them and I can say, trust the Lord. The Lord will carry you. Let the Lord carry you. And, friends, that is very true. But even as I say it, many times I think how hollow and empty this must seem. Now, friends, you listen to me, please. I am not going through the book of Job here just because I think it's fun to get in here and tell you a bunch of things that are depressing. I am going through this book of Job because this, friends, is the reality of what believers live through. And you've heard me say it on here before. You are either going through deep waters now, or you have gone through deep waters, or you're going to go through deep waters. God is doing a work for eternity. And that means, friends, just as surely as I'm sitting here and just as surely as you're sitting there listening to me, that means that he is going to begin in your life, if you are a believer, he's going to begin knocking off the rough edges. He's going to begin molding you and refining you. He is going to empty you of self, and he's going to fill you with Christ. And when he gets through, friends, you will not be able to, you'll look at yourself and say, man, you'll look at other believers, and you do that even now perhaps, and say, man, what a change I've seen in this person. How wonderful they look. If you've read the book of Job, you know very well that at the end, Job is altogether different than he was when he started. Job is a humble man. Job is a man perfected and completed and filled out. And Job is one of the men that God talks about in the book of Ezekiel, and in which he talks about as one of the most righteous of men, which he also talks about him in Job in that way. This man, Job, is an example to all of us. But he needed to go through some deep, deep waters. I have told people more than once, and will continue to tell them, when they lose someone close to them, someone that's close dies, I've often told them, this, what you are living through now, it will change. It will get better. You don't think it will, but it will just take time. When you are going through deep waters, the only thing you can do is go through them. That's the only possibility. You can't go back. You can't go around them. You go through them, and God says, he promises in the book of Isaiah, when your path goes through the waters and through the fire, I will be with you. That's a promise, and God will keep it. He knows exactly how long to keep you in there. Remember the Hebrew children in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were cast into the fiery furnace? Nebuchadnezzar looked in there. And he said, we've cast in three men, but there's a fourth. And he looks like the Son of God. Boy, that stirs me. I don't know what it does for you, but that does something for me. Yeah, they were cast into the fiery furnace, and the Son of God was right in there with them. He never abandoned them, and he will not abandon us. Now, let's get back and read some more of this book of Job. And we have here this guy Bildad, and he is saying, "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers." Okay, I will buy that. I really will. I think that's a true statement. God will not cast away a perfect man and a complete or a mature man, and he will not help evildoers. That's right. God doesn't offer any help to those doing evil. That doesn't mean they can't get help. They get a lot of help from the enemy out there, but that doesn't do them any good, does it? Not in the long run. Yeah, the enemy will prop them up and take them along, and it's his world out there after all. It's in rebellion, and the prince of this world is the devil, and he knows how to take care of his own up to a point. But I want to tell you something. If you are out there listening to me right now, and if you are not saved, and if you are just going along in your sin, and you think you're having a good time, listen carefully. The day will come when you will rue the day you didn't listen to people just like the one you're listening to now. And get off that treadmill and get off that path and get saved. Because you, if you do not get saved, you will come to the end of your life and realize that it is a shambles and it was for nothing. And you die, you leave it all, off you go into eternity with a misspent life behind, and you will look at a guy like Job and you will say, "I would to God I had done what he did." Let's read on here. He says, "Till he," and this is Bildad still talking, "till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught." All very true, as you've heard me say on this before. It is true, but it's superficial. This man, Bildad, is talking about something in a teleological sense. There's a nice philosophical word for you. He's looking down to the end, and he is saying, you know, this is what is going to happen. And he's absolutely right. His problem is that he is looking down to the end state, and he's trying to apply that to Job right now. The fact that those who hate Job shall be clothed with shame, that the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught, that God is going to fill Job's mouth with laughter, that God will not cast Job away and will not help the evildoers. The fact that all of that is true doesn't mean that everything that's happening to Job right now is something pleasant that Job likes. Job doesn't like it, and he is hurting. Let's go right on into chapter 9 and see what else we can see here. Job answered and said, "I know it is so of a truth. But how should a man be just with God? How can it happen? Here is Job. Obviously, I've done something. What am I to do? Obviously, I've done something wrong." Not necessarily, Job. Not necessarily, Job. If you want me to answer you, Job, because Bildad doesn't have the answer, but I'll give it to you. You want to know how a man can be just with God? He can be just with God by not contending him with him, by not answering him or arguing with him, but by accepting God at his word. And taking that and laying hold on it and leaning on it. Listen to me out there. Listen to me out there. You who are in pain, who are in suffering, you who are in sickness, you who may have lost money, you who may have been put in a situation where you are being persecuted and there is no good reason for it. I want you to listen to me very carefully now. God, if you are a believer and if you are saved, God intends everything happening to you for good. You don't have to contend with God. You don't have to talk back to God or answer God. What you need to do is lay hold on the truth of God, and I think particularly here of a verse you've heard me quote on here many times. It is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? To conform you to the image of his Son. If you are living through difficulties, you lay hold on that and do not let go of it. Let's go on here and see what else Job has to say. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. Well, the answer is none. And therefore, don't do it. Therefore, don't do what these individuals are doing who are trying to talk to Job. And don't even do what Job is trying to do. Job, we're going to see it later on, he gets down to the point of making accusations against God. Job, you don't want to do that. What you must do, and listen to me again, those of you who are listening, what you must do is read this word and take it by faith and lay hold on it and know that this indeed is the truth. What about this God that we cannot harden ourselves against and prosper? Listen to what Job says about him, which removeth the mountains, and they not. They know not, which overturneth them in anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, and Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Well, Job, you've got all of that right. And let me tell you something else, Job, and let me tell you something else, you who are listening to me right now. This one who strings out the heavens in the sky, and who places the stars in place, and who does all of these things that Job has been talking about here. Have you noticed that this one who does all of this began in this book of Job by saying to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Wow. Think of the 8th chapter of Psalms. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou hast ordained him? The psalmist says, you know, I look at the heavens, I look at all of the moon, the stars, everything you've done. Why would you take notice of me? Oh, Job, you are right in God's hand. He knows you. He knoweth all about you. And Job, believe me, he is looking on and watching you. Those of you who are listening, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. You cast yourself on him and let him sustain you. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.